Sometime back, I heard an NPR story about harvesting mistletoe, and the reporter seemed to be having trouble believing that mistletoe, that gentle catalyst for holiday kisses, is harvested by gunfire. But it came as no surprise to me, as I remembered my dad's family shouldering their shotguns and taking out into the eastern Oklahoma creek bottoms to hunt for this unusual form of game. Mistletoe is a parasite plant that attaches itself to a host tree, often evergreens or oaks. Its botanical moniker is Viscum album and derives from the Celtic word for all heal. Used as a medicinal herb in Asian medicine, mistletoe is currently of interest in cancer research and the treatment of nervous disorders. The ancient Druids developed pagan orgies connected with the plant's legendary power to increase fertility. Although this claim is unproven, it's probably the source for the ritual of puckering up under the mistletoe during the Christmas holidays. I'm sure there are mistletoe farms that produce it under glass and ship it to Christmas shops across the land, but my thoughts of garnering and displaying mistletoe are tied to family and the past, and they have a decidedly different cast to them than a picture-perfect scene of snowy drifts and a cozy cottage with a sprig of mistletoe over the doorway. In my memories, morning frost coats red earth, where we stamp a record of our footprints as we stalk the wily mistletoe. It seems to attach to the very tip-top of black-barked scrub oaks, growing thick as thieves among the mulberry, cedar, sumac, and twining vines that transplant me from my current surroundings into the countryside of my childhood. The trees are bare and spindly against gray skies, making it all the easier to spot the clumps of Christmas greenery. Capturing the bounty by climbing the tree isn't possible, as it positions itself well out of reach. The limb tips won't support any of us, so we have to shoot it down, using buckshot to break the twigs so it falls in small clumps. We kids run to gather it in a gunny sack and transport it back across the creek, along the plowed bottomland, past pumping units oozing black gold and a rotten egg smell of sulfur, so familiar to anyone who has worked in the oil patch. The mistletoe is hung on a nail over a doorway in a small farmhouse and overlooks a kitchen that is the center of life. Sometimes the morning hunt includes the bagging of squirrels, and then there is fried squirrel and grease gravy to go with the hot biscuits that spring from an oven that knows no rest. I sit at the table where much joking and winking is directed to anyone old enough to feel the urge to stand under the mistletoe. I'm teased about what old Santy will bring me, and I think there might be a store-bought doll, but I know there will always be a paper sack containing an orange, an apple, and some hard candy. Later in the day, a small cedar tree is transported from the back pasture to the front room. We decorate with paper, some well-used ornaments, and more mistletoe. Someday, the bushy tree will be supplemented with strings of lights when the power company gets our way with their electric lines. The predominant holiday color in this memory landscape is red, from the rusty eastern red cedar to the red clay that permanently stains clothing, shoes, linoleum, and doorways. The gray-green mistletoe sings out a carol of contrast in a season that at first glance might appear dreary, but with a closer look, holds all the colors of the rainbow.